West Coast Jazz, Prohibition, Redlining in a Sub-Basement. No, this is not a new gangster movie coming out. All of this happened in Seattle's Central District, which is a historically black neighborhood. Radioactive's Nia Price Nascimento explores the neighborhood's rich history through her sub-basement.
I live in a house built in the 1920s in the Central District. I used to think my basement was so creepy. Then last year, I found out there are two odd chambers hidden under the wooden floorboards. A sub-basement. My mom is down here with me, and she's going to describe where the sub-basements are. Before I get into the story, you need to know I'm African-American and half-Brazilian. I grew up in a mostly African-American neighborhood. Most of my friends are white, and I never really felt like I fit in. But recently, I got curious about my heritage when I found out my house had a sub-basement.
So, right here, I'm walking on this L-shaped depression.
My mom tells me she found dead rats down there. Gross.
And that's where it is. So you could feel it kind of underneath the floor.
I asked her what the realtor said.
He said, oh, this is a rum runner's house. And I asked him, I said, well, what's a rum runner? And he says, well, this is a place where bootleg was made or stored. And they used to bring the rum trucks right up to the garage, back them in, and then load them on. I actually almost felt like I was in some kind of exciting mobster scene.
During the Prohibition, people made hooch in their bathtubs. They also made wine. The house next door had many grapevines.
You don't see those kind of grapes anymore, the wine grapes. Where I grew up, there was a whole orchard full of those grapes, and those were the most wonderful grapes in the summer, but you don't see those that much anymore.
That's my neighbor, Chalice Stallworth, who's been living here in the Central District most of her life. Her father was a saxophonist who played at the African-American jazz clubs on Jackson Street. That's where the legal alcohol was taken.
Because that's where the action was. I mean,
that's sorry. Paul DeBarros. He's a music contributor for the Seattle Times, and he also wrote the book Jackson Street After Hours. He tells me African-American porters and railroad workers used to stay at hotels near 12th and Jackson in the early 1900s.
And that's where this community evolved of, well, what am I going to do in the next 3 nights while I wait to get back to Chicago? Well, maybe let's have a card game. Or somebody sees an opportunity, says, sell these guys a few drinks. He opens a bar, a pool room. Somebody says, well, why don't we have some music, too?
Like the Black and Tan that was owned by E. Russell Noodle Smith.
Nicknamed Noodles because every night at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, he would always have a bowl of noodles. Probably so he wouldn't have a hangover in the morning because he was hanging out selling bootleg liquor to people. The polite way of describing Noodle Smith is to say that he was an entrepreneur. The impolite way is to say that he was a gangster.
He came to Seattle in 1910 with $17,000. That's a lot of money for that time. African Americans made Jackson Street an economically thriving community. According to Paul DeBarros, the African-American musicians in these jazz clubs were creating a new sound, combining blues, swing, bebop, and other sounds that formed West Coast jazz. It has a very spunky, happy feeling, like this song, Seattle Hunch, by Jelly Roll Morton. Sometimes, I feel African-Americans aren't fully credited for their accomplishments, so it was nice to hear these stories. My mom and I go to Jackson Street to see if there's any remnant of this vibrant jazz scene.
It's kind of strange that this used to be a place that was so full of music and life, and it's so different now.
It was a little sad to go back to where the jazz scene was on Jackson Street. There's nothing left except the metal stand.
South was once the livelihood.
Can I read it?
Yeah.
Okay. The roots of jazz in Seattle. This intersection at South and Jackson Street and 12th Avenue South was once the lively hub of Seattle's after-hours jazz scene, a musical crossroads where in the 1940s, Quincy Jones, Ray Charles, and Ernestine Anderson, among others, honed their craft. I had no idea I've been passing through a piece of culture that was so rich. and now it's completely gone.
Jackson. So we're right here, but there's no remnants of it. There's nothing left. There used to be a sign, but all this has changed now. So this is where it used to be.
My neighbor Chalice thinks that the Central District has become prime property and that people with money are pushing out the older families. I've noticed my neighborhood has become more economically and culturally diverse since I was a little kid. Everything is changing. The houses, the music, and the people surrounding me. But Chalice hopes with this change, we don't lose any more of our history.
My hope that we retain some of the feeling of yesterday, the families of yesterday, and the traditions of yesterday. I think it's good to evolve, but you got to keep a piece of the old to remember where we came from and how we got to where we are now.
My house is a reminder of this history, which is often forgotten. I don't want to forget my history. I want to understand my heritage so I can understand myself more. The next thing I want to learn about is my Brazilian side of the family. For Radioactive, I'm Nia Price Nascimento.